Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Track Limits podcast presented by Formula Addict. I'm your host Swish with my co-host Henny. Henny, we're here at Outset Studios in London. I think we have our youngest guest today.
I think so. This is going to be on record.
This is going to be a record. Yeah. It's pretty great. She is genuinely a prodigy. She's someone who has pretty much done a lot in a very short amount of time. The youngest driver right now on the F1 Academy grid. Please welcome Chloe Chong.
Woo. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me, Swish and Henny.
Oh, of course. How are you doing?
Yeah, I was a bit nervous being here on the podcast, but you've made me feel quite welcome quite quickly. And yeah, I'm really excited to talk some racing with you guys today.
Absolutely. And even before we get into that, a rumor has it that you are Canadian, just like us.
Yeah, I mean, actually, something that's quite unique about me is that I have three nationalities. So I'm Chinese. I was born in the UK, but also my dad was born in Canada. And my mum and both him and my mum grew up in Canada till the ages, I think, 20 years ago. And then they moved here and had me. So it's quite cool to have so much like background and go back to Canada. And hopefully one day we'll get to go back to China and relive some of the heritage there.
Amazing. Nice. That's fantastic. Well, in terms of the kind of segment that we're trying to get into here, Q1, really want to dive into to all things racing here. Specifically when it comes to F1 Academy, we recently learned that the F1 calendar and the F1 Academy calendar now is going to be matched up quite heavily. I think there's 6 or 7 races now that are going to be aligned with the F1 calendar. What are your thoughts on that? Are you excited for it? Do you think it's going to help with bringing even more visibility to F1 Academy?
Yeah, I think last year was definitely, I think part of the plan was to keep it a bit behind closed doors, just to get us started, get it planned out and give us some crucial track time. So I think it was a really wise planning on F1's part. And now this year we've finally expanded into Formula One, and it will be really, really nice to see all the girls, you know, racing on that massive platform. And hopefully maybe next year I'll be back and racing again alongside F1, which is my dream. And maybe even seeing Lewis in Ferrari colors for the first time as well with that.
That would be epic. How do you go about preparing for a season?
Oh, that's a really hard question. I mean, a lot of drivers have different ways to do it. It depends on, you know, how they work, how their style is, what they want to do with their racing. So for me, I really need to be quite calm in the car. And it's a lot about, I guess, focusing on consistency and feeling in the car. So a lot of the work that I do is on the simulator as well as in the gym, just basically putting the hours in. You know, it's quite a physical sport, so the more hours you put in the gym on the simulator, it just all adds up and you become a better driver from all of it. I mean, you see drivers like Max Verstappen and Lando Norris always on the sim, and I think that's part of why they're so successful.
Yeah, and then talk to us about Prema Racing. You know, obviously legendary drivers have come from there. What is the culture like being a part of that team?
Yeah, it was definitely mind-blowing being part of their team for last year. I didn't really expect the opportunity, but they saw some glimpses of how I've done in the Girls on Track competition. So, really proud to be part of them. I mean, going in there for the first day, it was just special, you know, seeing the red everywhere, meeting all those drivers. I think the first driver I met was Bianca. So yeah. she was such a character, and she made me feel welcome straight away. So I think all along, like, you know, being part of that Italian team, you learn a lot. You learn about their racing history, how much racing means to them. And as a team, we built a lot together as a family.
Have you learned much Italian?
Si.
That's all you're going to get.
That's right.
Yeah. I can only just about order some pasta and pizza for lunch.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
And at what age did you even get started?
Oh, I think I got started, it feels like a long time ago for me. When I was 6 years old, so that's 10 years ago. And I think my first time in a go-kart was at Buckmore Park. And funny enough, that's when my dad told me that's where Lewis Hamilton started. And I think that pushed me to want to go faster each time I went. And I really got into it. Unfortunately, I had to take a break for 2 years. So that maybe it's not 10 years, it's like 8 years. And came back into karting around 2020 and went from there.
Do you remember the exact moment? Maybe it's not the exact moment, but generally, do you remember when you were like, you know, I'm actually really good at this. Like, I could make this, you know, a full-time career.
Funny enough, I had a few moments where I didn't really feel like I was that good at the sport. Like, you know, you have those moments where you start to doubt yourself and you start to think, okay, like, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe it wasn't meant for me. And I had one of those moments, I think, actually quite recently in 2022. And then I got selected for FIO Girls on Track. And I remember I was actually on a hockey tour with my friends in South Africa with the school. And I was so adamant that I didn't want to leave them because I just didn't think it would be worth, you know, going to this competition. Because, you know, I looked at everyone else that got picked and it was like Chloe Grant, Aurelia Nobles. They've all done seasons in Formula Racing. So I was like, there's no way that I'm going to get through, you know. eventually my parents pushed me to go there. I went there. And yeah, it was amazing. I mean, in the karting, I've always struggled in karting because we never had, you know, the budget for testing like some of the drivers did. Mm. And we went to the track, not knowing the track, and suddenly we were 2 tenths quicker than the reference Ferrari driver. So I was like, that's the moment when I knew, you know what, that maybe there's something there. And I think I'm really happy that my parents pushed me to, you know, exit South Africa and go for the competition, because without that, none of this would have happened.
Yeah. And is that how the F1 Academy got into place? Did they call you? What was that moment like?
We're delving deep into the emotional stuff right now. So from the Girls on Track stuff, I didn't win the final in Maranello, which was a shame because I thought I did quite well. But, you know, I think things always happen for a reason. And obviously it didn't in this situation. So I went to school for a couple months, you know, focusing on the GCSEs because those were coming up. And in February, we got a call from Prema just saying, you know what, we want to give you a chance. There's a seat available. Would you like to join Prema for the F1 Academy season? And, you know, that was something that, first of all, I think we contacted them first in December and they were like, no, this was before the Ferrari Maranello program. And they were like, you know what, you need a bit more testing. We want to see you on track. Let's do some test days this year and see for 2024. But I think after they saw, you know, like how I did at Maranello, they were quite, you know, happy with my performance, and that moment came about, and yeah, it was amazing. I think there's no way to express those emotions because it was kind of like panic, because it was like 6 a.m. in the morning that my dad walked into my room because they were in Bahrain testing, so for them it was like, you know, 10 a.m. it was fine, and I was just like, what am I gonna do? I need to reorganize this. What's gonna happen with the school? What's happened to my GCSE? Like, I had to reorganize my life and everything, but we knew straight away that's what I wanted to do.
Right. And what was it like going from, you know, karting, you know, all the way to being in an F1 Academy car? Was that a different experience altogether?
I mean, I definitely had like really high expectations of myself at first, but I think, you know, one of those things is that like it helps me, but also, we've got to understand that karting and Formula Racing is a whole different world put together. It's basically like unlearning the stuff that you learned in karting and trying to like move it a bit slower and kind of take stuff step by step more often, because what us karting and racing drivers feel is that karting is a very flowy state. You don't really think so much about the car, whilst when you're in Formula 4, it's on a bigger track, so everything relatively is quite slow. So there's a lot more to focus on, and I think that was the biggest adjustment. But I was so, so happy with how I adjusted, and I think that kicked off the season really, really well.
And are there any female drivers that you look up to and even ask for guidance?
I mean, definitely, like, in karting, I think, obviously, we had Super 1 as the British Championship, and you could watch that through YouTube. So I remember watching Abby Pulling, doing all the junior TKM stuff, and that was something that I looked up to from quite a young age. And then obviously when W Series came about, there was so many more women on the world stage. So I think all of that put together, you know, brought Jamie Chadwick, Abby Pulling towards me as like kind of idols, and I looked up to them. Of course, I raced against Abby this year, so it was a nice feeling to race against her, and obviously no compromise was made in the racing part of that. But I think F1 Academy is going to, like, you know, bring more females and bring more female role models to those younger drivers, ones that I didn't really have.
And you obviously raced in COTA, you know, this year, and there's a massive crowd. Was that pressure a little bit higher than the usual race?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely felt a sense of pressure, But then I think once you put the helmet on, once you're in the car, exactly, game on, flow state, into it. And I think that's probably part of why I did so well, is because I was just in the zone. Like, there was nothing that was going to stop me. My parents actually weren't there for the qualifying. Mm. And I think actually not having them there, you know, put the game mode on even more, and, you know, drove up that intensity level. So I was really, really happy with how it went and how I handled the pressure. And I think it shows, you know, how important that is in the sport.
And Lewis stopped by.
That was the best moment. That was the best moment. Oh, I didn't know until like 5 minutes before the time. And he came and I literally didn't know what to do. I was like there, like shaking, like, it's Lewis. Yeah, and he was so lovely. We talked about, again, where we started at Butmore Park. Mm. And he gave us some really great advice about, you know, not giving up and facing the challenges that we'll face, because obviously he broke through the sports as quite a different person to what we were used to at the time. So it was great to hear, you know, the tips from him and everything that he had to say for us.
Wow,
it's my goat.
That's why he's wearing
that.
He had that rehearsed all last night. Oh, but looking back into F1 Academy, they're about to kick off another season. Is there anything that you see that needs to be improved within F1 Academy, or even removed or added that you see?
I think that's a very interesting question. I think they're genuinely doing quite a good job at the moment. Obviously, you know, it's hard to keep a series afloat as it is. And I think, you know, with all the investment from F1, obviously it's helping, but they still have pressures that they need to manage and people that they need to please. So I think they're doing a very, very good job at maintaining their mission and doing what it needs to do to keep females in the sport. I think one thing that they definitely could, you know, take into account for the coming years is probably, you know, enable younger drivers, first of all, to race in the series and to give them more track time, and instead of races, maybe give them more testing. Because I think that is the one thing that I've noticed in Formula 4 series. If you look into Italian Formula 4, British Formula 4, Spanish, you'll see that all the top drivers, the guys, will be doing 20, 30 days of testing at least. And I think that's really key to building a full package out there, because sure, you can win an F1 Academy, but if you go to Formula 3 and you don't know, I don't know, procedure, standard stuff, then it's going to be really hard. And I think that's where the testing can really help.
And when it comes to sim racing, you mentioned you spend time in the simulator, but do you enjoy sim racing? Is that something you do? Do you jump in online lobbies on the F1 game or iRacing or a sort of Corsa?
So yeah. I got my sim in December. Just before Christmas. It was my early Christmas present. Thank you, Dad. And yeah, I mean, I've been on it ever since. I didn't realize that you could like race other people online, because I'm not very good with the technology stuff. So I went online for the first time, did a few races, and that was really a lot of fun. I wasn't very good at first, but after that I built up and I've always been quite quick. So we're getting the I rating up and hopefully, you know, getting some more races in and hopefully some wins. But I think it's definitely a crucial part, because you have that pressure. Mm. You can't crash, because if you crash, you get damaged. It's against real people. And I think this is what we've been missing all along. Like, these top drivers, this is why they're so good, because they've basically done so many races online compared to the races offline, and they've put it all together to become that complete package. So I think it's something that every racer should have.
Yeah. And I mean, looking back to what you mentioned earlier about trying to balance racing, school, and everything, how are you guys currently doing it? I mean, you're only 16. How are you balancing it?
I wouldn't say that I'm balancing it. Yeah. I'd say that I've made my priority, you know, quite strictly racing.
Yeah.
I think before that, so when I didn't get selected for the FDA Academy thing, we put the priority on the schoolwork and, you know, getting prepared for the GCSEs. But as soon as that Premacool came about, exactly, we switched it back around, dipped out of school and yeah.
Stay in school, kids.
Yeah, but yeah, this year I'm doing my A-levels, so we're just, you know, going with the flow. Obviously, I want to do well in my A-levels. I want to challenge myself in every way possible, so it's just natural that I want to do well. But I've just accepted the fact that, you know, with racing, you can't manage it all, and even the best students will find it, you know, a really hard time managing such high workloads.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to not even just young girls, but just young drivers in general that want to get into motorsport? Any advice you have for them?
You put me on the spot. Yeah. You put me on the spot here. No, I think For young drivers going into racing, focus on what you want. Think about it every day. Think about it every second of the day, and think about, you know, making those marginal gains to get better every day, because results don't happen overnight unless you've done, like, you know, 500 days of testing in one day. So I think, yeah, just take the marginal wins, and over time they'll all add up and you'll see success. So my advice, just, I know it sounds really, you know, what's it called?
Cliche,
yeah. But don't give up, and just keep going, and accept that you don't see, I guess, solidified results every day.
Yep. And we always ask this question to a lot of these drivers, but are you also competitive outside of racing?
So competitive. It's like anything, like, if someone famous follows me, then I'm like, I win. Like, I think Clarkson's Farm, the TV show, they followed me yesterday, and I was like, I win. but even, just anything in life, like, I will want to win, and it doesn't matter what, it could be the smallest thing. Like, yeah. I don't know, like, homework or schoolwork, I'll just want to be the first one to do this and that. I think it just, you know, comes with all the racing spirit stuff. I think every racing driver just, you know, wants to be the best at whatever they do, and I respect that.
Yeah.
And that's how true. Do you deal with a bad race? You know, if you have a bad race, you go in, you're excited, you have high expectations, you don't deliver. Do you have a process now to be able to get over that and reflect on it at the same time?
I think it developed a lot over last year. I think, so last year was my first year in cars, so it was a lot to learn. But yeah, we had a couple not so great races, and then we had some really, really great races. And I think the way that I cope with them changed, and I developed and matured a lot as a person. But what I took with me from the year and what I carry with me now is that, you know, if you have a bad race, first of all, think about, could it be controlled or is it out of your control? If it's out of your control, then all you need to do is let go of it. If it was within your control, then you've got to think, okay, what can I do to prevent this from happening next time? And, you know, like, how can I move on and become a better driver from it? Like, what can I learn, take with me so that this will never happen again, and that's a good thing that it won't happen again. Like, pretend if you're about to win, like, a title and it happens again. So you know, I think there's always something that you can take with you, and that's how I've been dealing with it for the past year, if you could say that.
Yeah. And even within your teammates, Marta or Bianca, what was that relationship like, turning it off and being competitive, and then outside and be like, let's be friends?
We have the wackiest relationship. Yeah, we're quite funny. I think people actually call us the Three Musketeers.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because we're all like the same height, we're all quite loud and charismatic around the track. So I think, you know, off the track, we're always great together, we hang out a lot. I think being part of that atmosphere in Prema as a family, you're always drawn into to being super, super close. So I think we had a really, really great relationship off the track. And then on the track, obviously, as I said, when the visor goes down, it's game on. And I think that like, for all three of us, that character is the same. So we know that when we're on the track, we're allowed to fight each other. Obviously, we have respect. And I think the whole grid has a lot of respect for each other, which is really great to see in F1 Academy. But for us three especially, we have a lot of respect, and we'll always race hard. But again, not go above the boundary of, you know, fair racing.
Yep. Final question for Q1, specifically looking at 2024, what are your goals for the upcoming season?
Goals. I like goals.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to look back on this podcast and I'm going to be ticking off all the goals.
Yeah,
I'll be
saying. Let's do it.
Yeah.
We'll keep you
accountable. Yeah, we'll keep you accountable.
You can have me back at the end of this year. No. Chloe, how many goals have you ticked off? I don't know.
You guys, you're like, I said that?
Yeah.
I actually smashed that goal.
Yeah, hopefully it's like that.
Yeah.
No, I think the goals for this season is constantly improving. As I said, marginal gains every day, you know, make championships. So I'm just hoping to go with those British F4 drivers, you know, some of the best in the world, and be on a super competitive level, get into some good fights, intense battles, and work my way up the field. I think we can have some really good pace, but I know it's going to be some challenges in the beginning, especially dealing with wet weather for the first time, because with F1 Academy, we're blessed to be in hot places all the time. So I'm really excited for that. And I know with the team that I have, we can make some good progress. So just be looking for those marginal gains, and hopefully we'll see some really good finishes. Fingers crossed the podium if we can.
Yeah,
let's go.
She's really competitive, Henny. What are you going to rank this?
Because she's competitive, I'm going to give her a green.
Green, yeah. Not a purple.
No.
Oh my God.
For improvement.
All right, well,
you got a green sector.
Chloe, you're still through to Q2, but you're kind of in that mid-pack right now.
Okay.
So we're going to have to see if you can get to the front after the rapid-fire round. You ready for that?
I don't know if I am.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a break, and you'll find out soon enough.
Great.
Rapid-fire round coming up soon.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. And let me tell you, TL crew, this one is near and dear to our heart, and we're thrilled to be working with them.
100%. I've used BetterHelp and continue to use it because of how important it has been in my life, especially now where I'm just feeling so socially drained.
Why are you drained?
I mean, I got to tell you, with all the travel we have done with season two and not being able to get back into a routine.
It's been hectic.
Yeah. I just felt like I didn't have time for myself and to recoup and have that self-awareness that I needed to go back and be the best I can be.
No, I get it. I mean, definitely. And we often, with many of our guests, talk about the importance of taking care of your mind and recharging. Mm-hmm. So this is very, very timely, especially in the world of motorsport. Yeah. Or that could be high pressure or simple as everyday life where just your energy is drained, zapped. Yeah.
And I honestly can't even agree with you more. Mm-hmm. That's why BetterHelp offers the convenience of being anywhere in the world and it being online. You can access it anytime you want and schedule within your own busy schedules, like you just said.
Yeah, I think the convenience is like, it's pretty clutch.
Yeah.
And whether you're a racing pro like Chloe, and we'll get back to the episode soon, or someone like Henny who's trying to manage his social battery and the twists and turns of his life, therapy can make a real true difference.
100%. And that's why you need to find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. So visit betterhelp.com/tracklimits to get 10% off your first month. Can't get better than that.
That's right. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tracklimits. And I repeat, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tracklimits.
Ciao. That's Italian, right? Ciao. Welcome back to the Track Limits podcast. We're here with Chloe Chong, and we're getting into the rapid fire round. Chloe, nervous still?
No, I'm ready to go for it.
Oh,
we're going to get
down.
The purple.
Visors are down.
You're trying to get a purple. All right, here we go. Answers, please. Rapid, full of fire. Which platform would you delete out of the bigger social media platforms?
Snapchat.
Oh, what? Ooh. Really?
I don't really use it that much. You know, at the beginning of this year, I was like talking to Marta, and I was like, yeah, what's your Snapchat? And she was like, Snapchat? You use Snapchat? And I was like, what do you use? And she was like, WhatsApp. So yeah, I think being part of the racing world, and obviously it's more of a professional world, so more adults use WhatsApp and not Snapchat. So I guess it's been kind of like, you know, being left alone for the whole year, just working with adults and texting them through that. So I'd say WhatsApp my go-to.
Yeah, that makes sense. Racing memorabilia you currently own or would love to own?
Love to own an F1 driver's helmet.
Any particular F1 driver?
Max Verstappen.
Ooh, very nice. Okay. Most unpopular opinion you have? Can be about motorsport or even outside.
Oh, I'm trying to think. To be fair, I wouldn't say that I have strong opinions about motorsport. I think that I really rate Alex Albon as a driver.
Okay, cool.
I think that he deserves that Mercedes seat.
Okay, all right.
Or even a Red Bull seat, as I've heard.
Yeah.
Where's our swirling? Best prediction for the 2024 F1 season?
I think Verstappen wins it, but he wins with a lesser margin, with McLaren coming very close behind with Norris.
I would love to see that.
I would love to
That's
see that.
That's what I want to see.
Can you imagine it's the total opposite? Yeah. We're like, oh, we got fooled again.
Go again.
Greatest driver of all time, in your opinion?
Schumacher.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. If you woke up and realized you had become Susie Wolf, what's the first thing you would do?
I don't know. I don't know. Try to organize some more talks about bringing more females into sports and bring more investors on board for F1 Academy.
Nice. Maybe elevate Chloe Chong even more.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Outside of work, your favorite addiction or obsession right now is?
Sim racing.
Okay, cool. That is work. That's basically work.
Okay, I'll give you another one. I don't know. Music.
Okay.
I love music. Yeah.
Any type of music?
I like all music. I think ones that I would call like passion, probably modern classical.
Wow.
And jazz. I love to play the piano, love the saxophone. So yeah, I'd say music is a big passion.
Like real music, holy crap. I was thinking like EDM or house.
No, I love listening to music. Yeah, don't get me wrong, but passion music is the classical and the jazz stuff.
That's
nice. Fair. No, I love that. Most embarrassing moment you had at a race weekend that nobody knows about?
Ooh. Many times I've been caught sleeping and then my team manager takes a photo of me. Because we basically have a truck and we have mats on the floor, so we're all sleeping on the floor under the tables. And my team manager will always try to come in and like take a photo of me in my worst sleeping position. I'm trying to think of another... Oh, me and Bianca, every race we started making it a thing that we all make pot noodles. Like on the Thursday before the race, and the team like hate pot noodles, so they were like, get out. And me and Bianca would just all like just be standing outside with our little pot noodles.
Eating it.
Yeah, but it was like our pre-race ritual, and it's probably quite embarrassing because all the other teams, they walk by and we're just like sitting on the floor outside the truck just eating.
I love it. Well, I mean, this next question maybe it's the answer, yep. But if you could only have one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Sushi.
Okay. Yeah, love that.
Sushi.
Yeah, I agree.
100% sushi.
I don't think I could live life without sushi.
Yeah, I need sushi.
Like sushi, Japanese food, just anything in that bracket.
Yeah. Okay, next one. What's your favorite guilty pleasure TV show?
Ooh.
Vampire Diaries.
My sister was watching that this morning.
I'm watching it right now. I'm on season 2, but anyway.
Guilty pleasure. To be fair, with the life that I'm having at the moment, I don't have much time to watch TV shows. But lately, I've been watching Breakpoint, the tennis show.
Yeah.
And that's been very interesting. But I think soon, maybe in a couple of weeks, it'll be Drive to Survive.
Yeah. We were seeing a video of like the Breakpoint editors and how like sometimes though they like kind of like fumble a little, where like you have someone like you know hitting a forehand from like the deuce side. But then you end up like showing them on the other side and then they're showing a backhand instead of a forehand. It's kind of weird editing, but like I've heard the show is really good overall.
Yeah. They've made it really well. I think it's from the same people that do Drive to Survive. Yeah. So that's probably why I like it so much.
Yeah. If you were trapped in an elevator with Marta Lopez, what would you say to her right away?
Marta Garcia?
Yep.
Okay. I'd probably blame it on her. Yeah. I'd probably say, Marta, this is your fault. And then she'd probably say, like, Chloe, this isn't my fault. like she'd just do something funny and then she'd start panicking or something. I don't know what she would do, actually. She's quite unpredictable.
Love it.
All right, last question. I know you're only 16, but you're writing an autobiography on your life. Which of these titles resonates best with you? We got The Daredevil, The Dreamcatcher, The Free Spirit, or The Hardest Worker?
The Hardest Worker.
Bold. Thank you so much for your time, Chloe. Any final message to our audience before you peace out?
Honey, best give me a purple.
Oh, we were about to get to it. Drum roll.
Damn. It's got to go purple. It's got to go purple.
I actually think that was actually the quickest rapid-fire round, too. That was very quick. But generally speaking, Chloe, we're so excited to see what you do this year.
Yep.
And by the way, you are incredibly mature, incredibly mature. There were times that we were going through this interview and I'm like, oh my God, like I can't imagine what I was doing at 16 years old.
I'm playing video games.
I've changed a lot. My parents can vouch for me that I've changed a lot. Like, you know, it's been a big journey and a lot of stuff has happened. So obviously I've just aged probably quite a bit over these these past few months. But yeah, I think it's made me a better person.
Absolutely. Kudos to you. You're an inspiration. Guys, go follow Chloe. We're going to drop her socials below. Check out F1 Academy this year. Even if you did not watch an F1 Academy race last year, you absolutely should. Check it out on F1 TV. Make sure to follow Chloe. Make sure to follow us if you liked this episode. Or if you like pot noodles. Like, share, subscribe. We'll see you guys in the next episode.